If you've got your New Testaments, open them this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 21 and read down through verse number 23. There we read in the words of the great Apostle Paul to that church that he loved, "Therefore, let no one glory in men, for all things are yours." Underline, circle that thought. Keep it in the back of your mind as we share our lesson together. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world to come, life, death, things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let me ask all of us today, do you belong to Christ? Are you His and He is yours? If you and I belong to Christ, Paul says all things belong to us. All the spiritual blessings about which Paul wrote in Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 3, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places are in Christ Jesus. If you and I are in Christ Jesus, we have all spiritual blessings that belong to us. Paul reminds us of what some of these blessings are when he writes these verses that we read a moment ago from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Would you listen, and would you and I embrace and be grateful for these things that belong to us? First, preachers belong to me. Paul says, all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Who are these men? Well, we understand that these three men identified by Paul are preachers of the gospel. Did you know that the church is not for ministers, but ministers, preachers, are for the church? We are here not because the church belongs to us, but because we, as preachers, we belong to the church. I do not know any faithful gospel preacher who would ever feel so important that they think this is my church. This is the church that belongs to me. We understand that the church belongs to Christ, for He purchased it with His own blood. Thus, as the church belongs to Christ, and we belong to Christ as His ministers, His servants, we belong to you. You are wonderful in the fact that you are allowing different men to come and share the Word of God with you. I speak for one of our members, Brother Chris Wayman, as he comes and as he shares the word and he's encouraged by being with you. And I know other preachers that come and they share the word of the Lord with the Lake Hills Church. All of these men, we are your servants. We're here to encourage, to build you up, to strengthen you in your faith, in your love, in your devotion to God. And let me say this, while I'm working at East Ridge, but I have the opportunity to come and share the Word of God with you. If there's ever anything I can do to help you as my brother or sister in Christ, if you know anyone that we can reach out to, anyone that might need visiting, I would be happy not only to come and preach on these occasions that I have the opportunity and you invite, but other things that we can do, not just stand here in this pulpit, but to encourage you, to serve you, to minister among you in whatever way, because we are the body of Christ, and we build that body up wherever we are. When we think about preachers belonging unto us, what do you understand the work of a preacher to be? Well, the Bible says Paul planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. When Paul looked at himself, he realized he planted the church in Corinth. Apollos may come behind him and water that seed, and God will give the increase. Now, what we can do as preachers of the gospel, we can plant the word of God in the hearts of those around us. Other men may come behind us and water that seed, but if we will trust God, he will give the increase. Preachers, our work is to go about fulfilling the challenge of the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. So wherever we go, we can have the great blessing of preaching the word and teaching the gospel to others. That's why I'm honored to be here. It's a part of our world. And being a part of our world, wherever we are, teaching this precious message of God's truth, it is a blessing to those of us who preach. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, the work of preaching is to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So the work of a preacher then, preaching the word, involves reproving and rebuking, also exhorting and building up. You come to this place of worship looking for exhortation, for encouragement to go out and face the world every day. And as you and I go out and we face the challenges of the world around us, we need to be exhorted, encouraged, and built up as we go out facing the challenges of life. Yes, I know we need to reprove, we need to rebuke, but we also need to exhort the people of God. The Bible says the work of preachers, our being your ministers, your servants, were to comfort the hearts of God's people. Isaiah 40, the Bible there says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. You need comforting at times, don't you? And the Bible says, wherefore comfort one another with these words, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So preachers are yours. We belong to you. We are here to serve you as God's people. In the second place, Paul says, the world belongs to me. God created it. God designed it. God made this beautiful world of ours as a place in which to live and enjoy the things that he has created. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 45 at verse 18, God made the world to be inhabited. Everything about this world that God created was for our good. He made it for us. The very air that we breathe, the food that we take into our bodies, the beauties of the world around us. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings. The beauty of what God has created is because God designed and God made this world of ours. In just a few weeks, all of us will rejoice as we see springtime coming. It's my favorite time of the year because it brings life out of a dead world around us, the deadness of the winter that has killed, the beauty of the trees and the flowers and other things. But the springtime and the year that is before us reminds us again of God's love for us, and we're thankful. We live in a beautiful part of the world. I love Chattanooga. As I drive around this beautiful area, I see the handiwork and the beauty of God's creation, and we're thankful for it. Did you know that when I look at the world, not only do I see the beauty of God's creation, I understand the design. This world was designed by a grand and great designer. It didn't just happen.
It didn't just come into being through the evolutionary process. It wasn't some great explosion out there in the universe and the world and the planets and everything just exploded and came into being. When I look around at this world of ours, it manifests great design. And design always implies what? It implies a designer. Every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. If you're on a lonely island today, and you're walking around that island, and you notice over there that there's a house that was built on that island. Nobody was there when you got there, and you don't see anybody around you now. You're the only person on that island, but you would conclude correctly so if that house stands on this island. There must have been someone who built the house. It didn't just happen. There wasn't some kind of hurricane or tidal wave that blew across that island and formed the house. Every house has to have a builder. Our world is a house. We live in this house. And if every house has to have a builder, then the world in which we live must also have a builder. It exists because of the Creator who made all things. Did you know also the world is our place of service? Why did God put me and you upon this world? Why are we on this earth? We're on this earth to serve God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. My whole purpose in living upon this earth and the world is to serve God and to serve others. Love God and to love others. It's a place of service. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What a joy and a blessing it has been that God has given me the opportunity to go to various parts of the world and preach the gospel. And we live upon this world and in this earth. It belongs to me. But it belongs to me as a place of service. So we have opportunity. Let us do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 10. It is a place to study and to learn about God. You see, God said in Genesis chapter 1 at verse number 28, that man can subdue the earth. He can subdue the animal world and He can subdue all things that God has created. He can study. He can learn from the world that God has created. It is a battlefield. We struggle upon this earth. We live in this world, and the Bible says that as we live upon this earth, we are in a constant battle living down here. You know, one of the great things that we look forward to in heaven when we get there and we've left this world, we've left this earth, there will be no more struggles against sin. Sin will be over. Temptation will be finished. But as long as I live in this world, it's going to be a battlefield. And as we're fighting the battle of life, as good soldiers of Christ, He gives us the victory. It is a veil of soul making. What does that mean? It means that this world is the very best place to live and prepare ourselves for our home in heaven. Everything that's going on around us, including this pandemic, including anything that you have faced, some of you have gone through surgery and you're going through pain with that surgery. Some of you have lost loved ones that you love so much and that we love so deeply. Some of you have gone through sicknesses with your family, your friends. And we wonder, as all of these things are happening, why doesn't God do something? Why doesn't God remove the suffering and the evil and the pain and the death that's all around us? Because God placed us in a world where these things can and do happen, and they happen in order to form and fashion our souls, causing us to have greater faith and trust in God, causing us to love Him more and not turn away from Him. Yes, I believe that the world, it belongs to me, it belongs to you. Paul also said, life is mine. Whether life
And the life that God has given is a precious gift. The life that began in your mother's womb, whatever age you are in this audience. And yes, I believe, and I want to say this as loudly and as strongly as I can, life begins at the moment of conception. And anyone that reaches their deadly hands into that mother's womb and kills that baby by abortion has committed murder. I can't say it any stronger or clearer than that. And God gives us life. And we know that the life that we live is a blessing from God. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Are you enjoying life? I think most of us are enjoying living in this world of ours. You know, the best life you can live is given by Jesus. Didn't he say that in the Gospel of John? The thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. Jesus, you see, wants us to live an abundant, happy, fulfilled life. And we can live that life. Jesus says life belongs to his followers, his disciples. The Bible says in Philippians 1, verse 21, "For to me to live is," you fill in the blank, "for to me to live, to have life, is Christ." The very essence of Paul's life was Jesus. And he wanted to magnify Christ in all that he did. You know, sometimes we will look at that verse and we might fill the blank in this way. For me to live is money. Well, is that going to bring you life? You lose it pretty quickly sometimes, don't you? For me to live is health. If I'm just healthy, that's life. But health is fragile. For me to live is popularity, but popularity is a fleeting thing. The day will come and people will say of you and me, "Well, what was that person's name? Who was that preacher? Or who was that person?" If you're living for popularity, it's not a lasting thing. But you and I can live and say, "For me to live is Christ." And during this period of discipline on this earth, training and preparation of my life here, you know what I'm looking forward to? Eternal life. And I know that I have that eternal life in Jesus Christ. To be with those who have already gone and they have received that eternal life. What a wonderful joy and blessing that is. Quickly now, let's look at another thing that belongs to us. Paul says, death. Death? Death belongs to me? I thought death is described as an enemy. It is in 1 Corinthians 15. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is a result of sin being brought into our world by Adam and Eve. And our bodies are growing older. Our bodies are bending toward Mother Earth. And as our bodies are bending down toward the earth, we know it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this comes the judgment. But death does not have to be a thing that we fear or that we shrink back from. Rather, death can become to us a thing that we possess. It belongs to us. What do you mean? Doesn't the Bible say, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints"? When his saints then leave this life, in the view of God, it's precious to us. It is a terrible loss. And we grieve and we mourn the loss of those that we love. But the Bible says that blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Rest is a sweet word, isn't it? To come home from working hard all day or to have our bodies racked with pain and somehow that rest comes to our bodies. Rest is a wonderful thought. And for the child of God, those who die in the Lord, the Bible says they do rest from their labors and their works follow them. Therefore, death can be mine because if I die in the Lord, I'm at rest. My spirit, my soul is in paradise. And to depart and to be with Christ, Paul says, is far better. Jesus conquered death. He told John on the Isle of Patmos, I have the keys of death and Hades. And when Jesus was given the keys of death and Hades, you know what he did? He opened the door. He unlocked the door of death. And he lets us look inside beyond death and see that there is victory for the child of God. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I have the victory because I walk with Jesus who has the keys. He arose from that grave that Sunday morning. And the ground beneath his holy feet shouted for joy at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and he placed within all of our hearts the assurance that death is not the final thing. It is not the final resting place. It's just a temporary pause. And the door of death opens up to a more beautiful life. Death, then, it belongs to us through Jesus, the risen Savior. Two more things and the lesson will be yours. Paul says things present are ours. Things present? I mean, what is present today that belongs to us? Paul, don't you understand the present time that we're living in? Don't you understand this pandemic? Don't you understand the tornadoes that came through the area here just a few months ago? Don't you understand the political situation that was so much unrest? Don't you understand what I'm presently dealing with in my life and what my family is dealing with? And yet Paul says, things present are ours. You know, a lot of the things that we look at presently are simply things that are of this life and of the world around us, the material things that we're dealing with. Aren't there some spiritual things that are ours, things that are present for us today? Aren't you glad that you can sit here and you can worship God together as a Lake Hills church once again? That is presently happening. It didn't happen maybe several months ago, but now, today, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Things present involve our redemption and forgiveness of sins. I am presently forgiven of my past sins by His blood. I am presently forgiven of my sins as I walk in the light. His blood cleanses me of all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. I have a present peace that passes all understanding. This present moment is mine. This day, let us rejoice in the day that God has given us. And then finally, Paul says, things that are to come are ours. Are you afraid of the future? Have you thought about what may happen down the road? Many of us are afraid to face the future. We sing, Brother Sammy, that song, I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't know about the future. I don't know what's behind that shut door today. When the door of the future opens wide, I don't know what's out there. But you know what? I know that Jesus is there. He's the same yesterday, today, yea, and forever. I know not who, what tomorrow holds. But we know who holds tomorrow. So Paul says, things to come, whatever they are, let them come into our lives. Let us hold to God's unchanging hand. And while things may change around us, while times may change about us, we serve a God that does not change.
And this is my Father's world. And though we see all around us the unfolding of things that can discourage and frighten us, we know that God rules the world yet, and He rules our lives. We have a lot of things, folks, to look forward to, things that have not yet come. Are you looking forward to the coming of Jesus? If He were to come today, would you shout with joy? We're looking forward to things to come, such as the resurrection of our bodies from the grave and the resurrection of those that have gone before us. That is yet to come. We look forward to our final home in heaven. We know that all of these things that are promised to us by God that have not yet happened, things to come, they belong to us. Because, you see, whatever is yet to come, the best is yet to be. Let us remember then that all things, though they all belong to us, and we belong to Christ, you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And when we understand that all of preachers, the world, life, death, things present, things to come, these things may change. But my relationship with Christ can be secure, and I can belong to Him. And that being true, whatever life brings me, He'll bring the best out of it. Do you belong to Christ today? Are you a child of God?